Welcome to another episode of the NPCs Discuss, where we talk about the video game industry, events, history, controversies, and more. On today's episode, it seems like only yesterday that PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds launched, and with it, a wave, nay, a tsunami of change that is still with us to this day. 100 players depart from a cargo plane, hover bus, dropship, helicopter, or some other type of flying object, and split across a massive map in hopes of finding the right weapons and gear and making it to the center of the zone before they die or succumb to the wall. However, in those 5 years since PUBG's release, player expectations for Battle Royale modes have shifted, and some players leverage a multiplayer game's success against the inclusion of a Battle Royale. Some devs even consider this expectation as they see player counts drop and retention skews into the red, meaning a post-content change to include a Battle Royale ends up becoming a make-or-break event. But is this the right way to go? Or is this more of a grasping for straws scenario to maintain interest in a game? Let's get into it with today's episode, The Battle Royale Dilemma. My name is Travis Sherman, and of course, as always, I am joined by Kyle Inman. Kyle, hello.
What's up?
Well, what's up is we're going to be talking about Battle Royales because, funny we should be talking about it anyway, is that we are in the 5-year anniversary. We'll hit 5 years of PUBG. I think it's November. November 2017 is when PUBG launched. And there's rumors swirling around right now that Halo Infinite, which released in November of this last year, is supposedly getting a Battle Royale mode being made by a separate developer from 343. So it felt fitting to circle around and kind of talk about where Battle Royales really are at. And honestly, do they make sense to add in, like, post-content-wise or, you know, for retention's sake?
Man, it seems like it seems like so much longer that PUBG has been around with all the changes and evolutions we've had with Battle Royales in general and just the new ones that have come and gone since the inception of the entire game mode itself. With that being said, what's your tenure with Battle Royale games?
Well, that's a fun one there for you to talk about. So, yeah, let's hop into it. So I was a part of the alpha and beta modes for PUBG back in 2017. So I was there to, I was there to do all the fun with it. I should actually preface this by saying I'm looking a little closer here at the date. So we actually just passed the 5-year anniversary for PUBG's launch, more specifically like the early access part of it. But its full official 1.0 launch was November of 2017. So March 23rd, 2017 is when that dropped. Anyway, PUBG is really where I started at, of course, and I think that's the same for a lot of people. From there, I saw some of the appeal for Fortnite, but I didn't actually touch the Fortnite game until, oh my gosh, I think I tried it out for a little bit in 2018, just a little bit on the Switch and a little bit on PC, but nothing that had me stick around.
Right.
And then from there, a lot of time sunk into Apex Legends as well as Warzone. Tried a little bit of Danger Zone, the BR mode in Counter-Strike Global Offensive. But besides that, that's really where I sit on a lot of it. So I hate to say varied, but, you know, because it's a Battle Royale game and they're all kind of the same and they're like, you know, in their own way and have their own little things in their own ways. But yeah. But what about you, though? What has been your history, I guess, in the last 5 years with Battle Royale games?
So, of course, I started with PUBG. I got in as soon as the early access hit on Xbox, actually. So I actually paid to get into that. And from there, I actually did not play it as much as I would have liked when I first bought it. And kind of slacked on it for many years, just kind of let the genre grow. In the meantime, picked it back up just before playing Apex shortly after it came out, and I played a lot of the Call of Duty Warzone. Never got in on the Black Ops Battle Royale, so. Not nearly as much as some other people. I've played a little bit of the Call of Duty Mobile, but and of course PUBG Mobile. But as far as it goes, not a lot of the battle royales.
Yeah, those are actually two I forgot to mention. It wasn't until we started getting our notes together for today's episode that I didn't realize that, like, you know, Call of Duty Mobile had actually included a battle royale mode. But I did play and have played PUBG Mobile, though, quite a bit. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time since I've put it up, but I have put, I feel like, at least maybe 24 hours into it total. So, yeah, that's a good reminder on that one, though, especially with the mobile ones as a part of it. So, yeah, between both of us, I think we've probably sunk in quite a few hours into all these different ones. And it's interesting, especially being there at the birth of what now has been a rather popular, you know, game genre. I mean, it's kind of tough to not go, you know, like go a day where you don't see like a news article that relates to something battle royale specific. And it's interesting to have been there since the birth to see how things have evolved and what we have today versus what we had in 2017.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, from the game that sprouted from just the idea from a book, and then, you know, just kind of grew from there, and such a simple game when it first started. I mean, you had to collect the clothing and, you know, collect your guns. And as far as it goes, comparatively with more modern, I guess, battle royales, with as off the wall as they've gotten, or, you know, as intricate as they've gotten, PUBG almost seemed very simple, even for some of the very complex things that it dealt with, like bullet drop and other things you actually had to deal with in the game.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things, like you said, you know, there's a lot that has evolved and changed too. I mean, not only is it very simplistic stuff that actually relates to the way weapons should act in a, you know, in a realistic manner in video games, bullet drop especially being one of them, or the impact of weather conditions mm-hmm. on how you're going to be able to approach playing a game. You know, it's safer to run out in the middle of a field when there's fog all over instead of in the middle of just broad daylight.
Right.
It's a lot of that type of evolution that has, you know, kind of come around, that it's not just you fall in and just go. You're now having some of these other variables to really take into account, because no two games are ever going to be the same. Unless you're like me and just terrible and die at PUBG, you know, as soon as you sign in. But you can also blame the person you play with who chooses to drop on five-story at Picado all the time, and you can't find good enough weapons because he loots everything.
Right.
I'm only a little bit bitter. I'm only a little bit bitter with it. Anyway, so now that we've talked, of course, about a little bit of our history with it, as mentioned there at the beginning, our discussion really comes up about kind of not only with it being the fifth anniversary of PUBG, but these rumors going around about Halo Infinite, released in November, Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, PC, cloud streaming, all of that. It released everywhere, and its multiplayer, according to some people, has been rather lacking, and a lot of people were expecting a battle royale mode to have launched for Halo at the same time the game launched, but it never did. And now we're hearing rumors about it potentially coming up. Now, nothing has been 100% confirmed. There's no official announcement from 343. There's no official announcement, from this other developer that's working on it. And you have to forgive me, I don't have their name right in front of me. But Halo, in of itself, is a game that really helped to kind of refresh the first-person shooter multiplayer experience, especially back in the early 2000s when, you know, a lot of people with their first-person shooters were, you know, it was GoldenEye for all of us back on the Nintendo 64. And around the same time that Halo Combat Evolved came out in 2001, we were also seeing kind of the advent of some of these other first-person shooter titles as well, Medal of Honor, Battlefield. You know, there was a lot of evolution like that. But the multiplayer component, from what we saw then up until maybe about 5 years ago, really, has been the same. You've got your King of the Hill modes. You've got your point capture modes. You've got your capture the flag stuff, your regular deathmatch modes, team deathmatch, what have you.
All based on either medium or slightly larger arenas, not these big expansive arenas, though, that close in on you.
yeah, you're talking no more than maybe like a half mile to maybe like a full mile by a mile, you know, area to play in. And maybe you can only touch like 60 to 70% of the actual area itself, because the rest of it is just, you know, areas of the map you can't get to. But now you're talking, yeah, 8 kilometer, so, like 8 kilometer by 8 kilometer areas to drop into and play on. And like I was saying, there is that the multiplayer just really hadn't changed much over the years with that. Crossplay support was kind of there, but not really. And it branched out more in the last decade, but the component for multiplayer was really the same. It was just, what was the gimmick that was going to be different for each game? And now Battle Royale games have really taken the center stage on exactly how a multiplayer game should, I'm putting that in quotes, should look. And that's why we're talking about this, or at least I've been rambling on here enough time anyway, talking about kind of the lead up to the Battle Royale dilemma and whether or not it is necessary for a game to have a Battle Royale. Like the tagline we gave this, how retention in multiplayer games is dependent on a Battle Royale or not. So with everything I said there, Kyle, at least kind of to bring us in with our history of Battle Royale games, what multiplayer games used to look like for us, especially in the first-person shooter realm, mm-hmm. and where we're at now, lead in with, like, bring us some of your thoughts on this, though, too. You know, thinking about where we've come from and where we're at now, and kind of lead us into this, like what you think about a Battle Royale mode being added to a game that didn't launch with it.
So I think here's my biggest dilemma, is the idea of the Battle Royale started as its own individual game. It wasn't the idea of having it added or tacked on as a multiplayer.
And that's true, yeah.
The first company to really, I think, make the shift to change any gameplay, to actually totally alter their game to be about more about the Battle Royale than what the game was originally intended, was Fortnite. Because if I'm not mistaken, Fortnite Save the World was a survival game at the beginning. It was like a four-person survival game.
It was a tower defense game. One where you actually would, like I actually have the original Game Informer sitting on my shelf somewhere talking about when this game launched. And the character designs, the world design, your enemy designs, all of that have basically been the exact same, you know, save for, of course, what's evolved. But it was a tower defense game where your gimmick was actually building up towers the way you do in the version of Fortnite, at least that we had prior to this no build mode event that's still going on right now.
Right. I don't know. I think part of Fortnite's success is they focus on what is successful and trendy at the spur of the moment. You think about some of the crossover events that they've had that have occurred over the years. Turtles, while a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie has been in the theaters, you know. I think Ariana Grande, when she had a new album coming out, Marshmallow.
They had, they had an event for Star Wars in there. There's been a crossover with Marvel and all that, too.
I think Chief has even been in Fortnite, if I'm not mistaken.
Master Chief is in there. Yes, yes.
Yeah, so I mean, it really is a game that focuses on, you know, becoming what's trendy. They even mimicked, Among Us at one point. So, I don't know. Fortnite was the first one to really set the trend for adding this game mode that was a standalone. And I guess that worked for them, but for other games to do it and to go out of the way, when Call of Duty first did it, they made it there an actual whole separate multiplayer aspect about it. You could access some of your stuff from multiplayer that you had purchased, costumes and whatnot, to use, but, you know, it was its own separate thing. However, as it progressed, the fact that they were releasing Call of Duties and they were still affecting the Warzone, it totally altered this single, you know, separate entity of what the multiplayer was supposed to be. And it started changing what the multiplayer was too. And that's when it started bugging me, is when, you know, when the multiplayer that was supposed to be core to the game altered the free to play multiplayer that anyone could play, and it altered it back.
And I think that that was actually one I was going to really focus on, is that it wasn't even just Fortnite being trendy for the sake of like being trendy. Like, you are right. A lot of the crossover stuff, the spinoff stuff that they've had kind of go off like within the game, and their big season ending events that they have, you know, the one where everybody signs in and it's a robot fighting a giant monster, and, you know, the universe shatters apart and changes the island around. But not even that. It's really the fact that Epic Games took Fortnite from being a tower defense game and converted it to a battle royale game. I mean, the tower defense game is still there, but they converted it to a battle royale game, and it was free to play day one. It didn't require you to own the other one to play it, whereas PUBG was something you actually had to purchase. Even in early access, it was still one of those games that was something you had to pay for. And when I bought it in early access, that's the only price I had to pay for it. I didn't have to go back and rebuy it when it went 1.0. And now that it's also gone free to play, I have some different perks in there because I bought the game. So I think that's really where a lot of Fortnite's success kind of came from, was that it wasn't like the quirkiness or anything. You know, it wasn't just that, excuse me. A lot of the quirks there have really been what drives the attention. But it's the fact that it was free. It's the fact that if you had a gaming PC that could handle it, hop in. You could just go in and play. You don't have to go pay for anything. And millions of people have been signing on to it and continuously signing on to it since. So I think the free-to-play component is what really did it. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until... as we've gone on with Battle Royale releases, and I'm trying to look at the list here off of Wikipedia, talking about the list of Battle Royale games, there's been a lot of free-to-play ones that have released, but some of the ones that you would think that would potentially be able to bring more people in weren't necessarily even free. Like the blackout mode in Call of Duty Black Ops 4, that wasn't free. Yeah, you had to buy the game.
Yeah.
The entire game was multiplayer specific. There wasn't really a campaign to it.
Right. So if there were any other map additions, even to that, you would have had to purchase the map pack. I can't say for certain if there was or wasn't, because I didn't actually buy or play that one. So.
Yeah. And then, of course, everything else that got upended was, you know, the shadow drop, the shadow release of Apex Legends. The battle royale set in the Titanfall universe that doesn't give us titans to fight with in the battle royale mode.
Right.
There's none of that. So, yeah. Yeah, I know it's kind of interesting to dwell on a little bit here, because it really is that free to play component is what has really driven a lot more of the attention of what has tried to bring people in, is that this is a game, like a very popular game mode or inspired from a game based on another series, and we're not asking you to pay anything for it, but you have the ability to buy stuff in there, and again, no cost to you to play, but if you want to do it, then do it, and that's what brings people in to spend more money, you know, buy battle passes and do all that stuff as well.
Well, and maybe that's where the success lies in the... battle royale games is the simulated length of playing a game. Like, you feel like you've accomplished something because you've been in the same game for, you know, 20 minutes, even though that you may not have killed anyone, you've actually survived for 20 minutes. And so you've technically accomplished something in a game.
That's true.
So then it's not as hard to spend money on a game that you've actually accomplished something in already. So maybe, you know, you've done that 15, 20 times now. Maybe I'll throw some money at the game and get a costume because it makes me look cool while I'm, you know, surviving my 20 minutes in my next playthrough, you know?
I think my problem, though, is it depends on how things go in that battle royale for you as well, too. Like, there's always the joke that, you know, PUBG could be a walking simulator or a running simulator, because sometimes you land in the right spot where there's nobody around you. And so you're able to loot, you're able to armor up, you're able to get yourself ready to go, but you can't find a vehicle. So you end up having to walk across the map to get to the next zone. And let's say that entire walk, that entire movement, you don't find a vehicle and it takes you maybe 10 to 15 minutes to get to that next zone. And then you immediately die.
Right.
Like someone right there is able to snipe you from one spot, or with the inclusion of C4 and how crazy explosive that is, your ability, like, you know, the impact to your ability to play the game is crazy. Cause like you're telling me that I hopped into this game and I spent 20 minutes to do all this stuff and get to this area, haven't seen anybody, and by the time I get to this area, I'm dead. I mean, it's a very interesting way to make me want to play the game. I'm going to go find something else to do. And that did that to me with PUBG for a little while.
But I mean, so there is a little bit of a perceived accomplishment there. You only have one life to live. And, you know, if you survive that long, well, maybe you could survive till, you know, there's only 10 people left. And then maybe you can only survive till there's only 5 people left or 3 people left. Or maybe you can be the last standing.
The stakes really evolve with what is going on at that point in time. No, right. I absolutely agree. And I get that feeling as well. But I want to kind of take what I said there and kind of circle it around here to this report that I found from Google. It's actually from the Android development team. And it is from, let me grab the author's name here, Howard Chen, a developer growth consultant with Google Play. And this report was published back in September of 2021. So it's only about 7 months old. And of course, for a lot of people playing games nowadays, you're usually, you know, if you don't have the time to sit around home, which for the last 2 years, I think we've all had plenty of time. But for those moments where it's like you have to commute one place to another, you're in between classes, you're on your break at work, whatever, you're going to go to your phone to play a game. And in this PDF here, in this report they have on Battle Royale modes, they've made it clear here in their reporting that the top Battle Royale games have strong retention, and last year developers made incremental improvements throughout the funnel. In quarter one 2020, the average day two retention of top Battle Royale games was 51%. And that was actually a growth year over year from the previous time at 2.58% year over year. So that's a pretty big jump for retention, at least in the day two part. But going further along here, there's still problems, though, even though people like might be able to hop in and play some of that. One of the problems is keeping people engaged with it, too, and going on past that day two metric and getting on to, say, like what they put here in the report, the day 28 metric. It says, however, on day 28, users are playing 9% fewer minutes per day, despite Battle Royale's day 28 retention seeing an 8% improvement. So it's more like people are logging in to play the Battle Royale game on their phone, but are not sticking around long enough in it, you know, to actually provide at least anything significant. You know, people are retaining it, I guess, in the sense maybe of like keeping the app installed and maybe opening it and maybe playing a couple games, but they're not sticking in it long enough compared to maybe, say, their PC and console brethren. And I think that's an important thing to look at is, like I said, it's how the game actually brings you in to, you know, to playing something like this. Are you going to spend all your time just finding your loot and then running and then immediately dying, you know, after spending 20 minutes of trying to get from point A to B? Or are you going to have the best game of your life, land in a hot zone with a bunch of people and be able to survive and have, you know, 10 kills under your belt? It's one of those things that comes down to really the next focus of ours is the actual retention part of it and whether or not a battle royale is necessary. I mean, before we go to our break here, Kyle, I mean, what do you think about those metrics there? Just, and that's specifically Google Play. That's not talking about anything on iOS. That's not talking console. That's not talking PC. That's talking just more specifically Android devices and battle royale games available from the Google Play Store. So before we go on our break, think about those metrics for a second there, Kyle, and tell me what you think about that.
For me, the metric almost says it's almost like people that are picking up the battle royale games, the retention for them may potentially just be, you know, they're finding that one game that they can play over a lunch break or something, and those first few days are, well, I'm gonna play a few matches and get a few deep in, and oh, well, I'm kind of enjoying this. I'll continue on. Maybe next day I'll hop on, play a couple matches. And then it tapers off, you know, to just being the lunch break style game. But I see Battle Royales, especially being on mobile devices, being successful in that aspect, is they are a game you can hop on. You can survive the 20 minutes, and, you know, it may be the best game of your life. And all of a sudden, you know, you've wasted your lunch break, and you actually enjoyed it. So instead of, you know, sitting there scrolling Facebook or whatever, you know, it just depends on how you, some people want to utilize that time. But to the same effect, I think it also speaks that it lands in that sweet spot for a lot of people as far as gameplay time. And that's where it holds people's attention. And that's why it's one of the highest grossing as far as mobile games go.
Yeah, I can see some of that. I think the problem, though, is like we're all kind of counter what you were saying there, kind of about that sweet spot on time, is that a Battle Royale game, I mean, we already said it there, or I've said it a couple times now, is that it's like you could spend 20 minutes walking across the map and not have shot anybody or killed anybody and be dead, you know, after basically doing nothing except looting and running. That's it.
But to that same aspect, you can also measure that amount of time. You know, you can say, oh, well, if I've survived one match, that's just one lunch break. But if I die right off, you know, I might be able to get two matches in.
Right. But where it comes into a problem with that, though, is like playing a game that has a little bit more simplicity to it. You know, I hearken back to the days of like, you know, Angry Birds.
Oh, yeah.
And how easy it was just to load up something there. You could do a couple levels in a few minutes and move on to something else, you know, especially if you are just killing that little bit of time. For some games, like a Battle Royale game, especially, there is a bit of a time sink into it with the speed that you need to move to be able to gear yourself up and defend yourself, especially if you're in a hot zone of some type with multiple other players around. That's one of those things that I kind of counter you on, is that it's the amount of time that you actually have to spend kind of almost in preparatory and in a preparatory phase, excuse me, and then what the success outcome is going to potentially be from that point going forward. Are you going to get everything you need and be able to survive, or are you not going to be able to get everything you need and somehow survive, or the inverse? True. Are you going to get everything you need and still die, you know, a painful death, or are you going to not be able to get everything you need and you're getting yourself knocked out in a matter of minutes because just, you know, and then you have to, again, go through going back into another mode or going back into another match, waiting the minute for the game to load up, dropping in and repeating the process over and over again. So looking at it on the mobile side of things, yes and no, but it just feels like that it's a little bit more of a time sink. And that's why some people don't put as much effort into it. And even like this is the PDF here again, the report from the Android developers says Battle Royale games are often difficult to win, and this is a key motivator, for players. Therefore, certain game systems or features, such as a weekly checklist that work adjacent to core gameplay and drive players to come back and play again, are key to improving sessions and stickiness. Which might be the case that the reason why they're seeing, you know, less time for people like logging in and playing is because they're going in to the game and most of these games have a checklist where it's like, oh, you've connected to the game for the day. Now you can redeem and get your 200 coins for whatever, you know, right. And that's all they need to do. And they'll come in and keep doing that until they reach a level where they feel like they've got enough of whatever in-game currency there is, and then we'll play full regular matches. So that's one of those things that comes into it is part of that retention gimmick is, hey, you just come in and check in. Here's a little bit of in-game currency. So if you want that skin, you know, cool, you can just do this. And it's like, okay, well, I'll do this and come back in 5 days and, you know, I'll play then. Right. That's my thing with it, you know? So, but we're going to take ourselves a break here and, we're going to kind of start moving into the next phase of this discussion here, as we've already talked about retention and, at least on the metrics that we've been able to pull. We've talked about the games that have come out so far and kind of the history of things on Battle Royale side for, not only us, but for the, for games as a whole. But when we come back, we're going to talk about about what's going on with Battle Royale next and sort of those driving factors into bringing Battle Royale into already existing games. So we're going to take that break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. So as we said there just before the break, we are going to be focusing here, of course, on this half of the episode, talking about the introduction of a Battle Royale game to an already existing multiplayer platform as, at least from what we see, I guess, as a way to drive, you know, players to come back, you know, to beckon them in into back into a game that supposedly is dying, which if you must, you can, or if you'd like to, and of course we'd like you to as well, is go back and listen to our most recent episode talking about game longevity. So, of course, with that part said, though, Kyle. So, again, as we talked about at the beginning, we have Halo Infinite potentially coming out with a Battle Royale. Mm-hmm. And its multiplayer component in Infinite has been under some pretty big criticism since launch because it came out pretty solid, like really no bugs, no issues to speak of, but it was kind of lacking in content compared to its predecessors. No right. Forge, no custom games. We don't have Infection. We don't have, I guess really Infection's the big one. But now there's all this talk about Battle Royale being included in Halo Infinite. So let's kind of talk about that.
And of course, before the break, we were talking about retention. And Halo, of course, the hot topic recently, before the Battle Royale news hit the scene, was retention for its player masses. They've been under a lot of scrutiny for the long season. Of course, both you and I finished months ago and have been waiting for new content, so much so that
yes.
The Tenrai event and I think that the two other events that they've run in parallel with that, I don't know about you, but I've just kind of fallen off, didn't necessarily care about getting all the items because it was like there's nothing else, and the challenges, they're not in real good cycle with one another. So retention has become a problem with Halo. And we are moving into Season 2, of course, with new maps and new game modes. But
yep, we are.
The Battle Royale has become the hot topic for the game all of a sudden. And there's this new company, and I still haven't been able to find it either, which company was actually helping out 343 with this aspect of the game. But the way it sounds is it's just loosely from what they're saying in the reports is it's going to be a 100-person mode with a arena that shrinks in size, with potentially other objectives that you're able to complete while accomplishing the main objective of being the sole survivor or sole surviving team, which of course sounds like a battle royale. And I've heard other rumors that there may be certain things to make it more Halo, firefights you can engage in midway on your way to the next objective, or, you know, that it might be a slightly larger map, so some of these things can happen, better respawns or more respawns, but it's all speculation, all rumor. But is it necessary for a game that, you know, so many people have wanted, and, you know, we just want the multiplayer. And to be honest, it shows in the numbers, because we've even become one of those numbers with the high shift in player count that has gone back to the Master Chief Collection because content's not available. So I think looking at Battle Royale specifically for Halo right now at this point is a weak option, but it's almost a safe bet to just generate money. I don't know if that's something that other companies have looked at, and that's why they've added it to games so quickly, i.e. Call of Duty. But, I mean, it's proven successful, but is it really necessary to just feed into it for games that have successful multiplayer modes?
Yeah, and as you were talking there, I went and looked up the developer who is actually assisting 343 with this, and they are not just brand new and pulled off the street to help do this. It is Certain Affinity, and they have helped out 343 over the years, especially with the Halo franchise. Some of their other contributions include support for Call of Duty, World of Tanks, but in their Halo franchise contribution, they actually made multiplayer maps for the Halo 2 Blastacular map pack back in 2007. They also contributed development to Halo Waypoint. And they've also done work on Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary and Halo Reach. They also worked with them on Halo 4, as well as some other maps for Halo 4 multiplayer. They also helped with Master Chief Collection as well. So they are not strangers to working with the Halo team itself. But you did touch on a very good point there at the start, is that we did blast through basically all of the content that we could right there at the start. We haven't spent any money in the store. At least I know I haven't since the game came out. I think the only thing we purchased was just the actual battle pass.
Right.
And yeah. And since then, it's like everything else in there is just truly cosmetic and doesn't have any sort of like pull in like that says I need to have this, especially with all the controversy that goes around the store prices right now too. But we have done basically everything, really.
Why not focus, especially, you know, that, like you said, that this is a company that they're familiar and they're no stranger to the Halo franchise. Why have them focus on something that's a proven successful game genre for other companies, for something that has never been in Halo before, when they could work on something that they've worked on before, has been successful with Halo before, and all they need to do is improve what's there and maybe provide content and it would still be successful.
So you're talking more specifically, instead of having Certain Affinity focus on this rumored battle royale, is having them take a page out of their history and focus on things like multiplayer content additions and provide some support on back-end development maps. And who knows? I mean, you're right. Maybe they could offer that additional support to maybe get campaign co-op out there faster, or get Forge in a better state so it's out faster. Just today, 343 actually dropped a roadmap for what's going on with season two and what they have going, at least in prep for season three, including some like rough timelines of when we're going to see some of these other things. So, you know, that is a great question, is with that tenured history with Halo, why couldn't they do that?
And you did mention Forge, and that was another rumor that I hadn't mentioned, is that the Battle Royale mode might be tied into Forge. Just not as its primary aspect, but as another aspect you can engage in Forge. But even still, why not just put out Forge and let the players decide? Because it gives players the ability to actually create their own Battle Royale modes. You know, just give them the tool set.
Yeah, I mean, we've already got like the ability to make custom modes, but not make not actually develop the maps ourselves. And that was a boon for Halo when that was introduced in Halo 3. And the number of community made maps that ended up becoming part of like standard rotation. Griffball. I mean, you could go and boot up a Griffball. Yeah. Even though that started as a joke in Red versus Blue, it actually became a real thing. Mm-hmm. But it's also that these ideas spawned the actual like playlist to be able to play community maps or community modes and broadened that horizon for multiplayer content. It really did a lot. And it's that potential idea that maybe it's like, why couldn't Certain Affinity be working on that? And it very well could be the case that someone got overzealous in what they were saying. And that's how the rumor got like really out there about the stuff that Certain Affinity is working on. That maybe we're not going to get a battle royale, but we're going to get more of their support in these things that 343 has unfortunately been lacking on, or at least needs the additional support. But since we're focusing on the battle royale side, the question still comes down to really like our tagline for what we're talking about for this episode, is how retention in multiplayer games is dependent on a battle royale or not. And does Halo Infinite in its current form, knowing at least what's coming up over, let's say, the next 6 months, does it require a battle royale to actually bring players back? Or is this grasping for straws, like our intro said? Is this more of a grasping for straws scenario to maintain interest in a game? What do you think about that?
So at this current point in time, I think it's grasping for straws. Had we had more season content ready, more maps ready, more content and accessibility to multiplayer modes and content in general at launch, or, you know, at least a steady, more steady flow with the multiplayer, I don't think we would have even had this as a consideration. But I don't think it's necessary at this point in time. But further on down the line, if the game were to have been successful by itself on its own merits, I don't see any reason why it couldn't be looked at as an option to expand the Halo universe or expand the Halo universe's gameplay styles. Like I said, I still feel that, you know, there are some games that are meant to be just battle royale games. PUBG, it started as it that's what it was through and through. But something like Halo, it started as the arena shooter for multiplayer gameplay. And I think for an actual battle royale mode to succeed more appropriately they have to be there for the core multiplayer. It shouldn't be totally reliant on this battle royale to try and breathe life into the game.
And that's one of those things that I agree with. Would it be interesting to actually see a battle royale in Halo? Absolutely. It would actually be interesting to see how they would potentially approach it, especially with all of the different locations that something could exist in. Because, like, you know, compared to something like Warzone, for example, where they can't even put both Verdansk and Caldera into the same install because it kept growing so much, they just couldn't do it. Right. And, you know, it's like, could Infinite potentially go that way if they did introduce something? But the number of locales, the number of locations that exist in the lore, and granted, the variety of weapons could probably be improved on, you know, just a few more. But the idea of being able to expand in it is a very interesting one. But it feels like it would have been something better tied into the actual launch of the game instead of being more of a second thought, especially 7 months. It came out in November. It's April now. So we're talking, 6 months, 5 months now?
Yeah. It feels like a second thought at this point. Like,
yeah,
if you didn't have it before, and you're not adding it later, after the content that's supposed to be there should have been added, it is a second thought to me, you know?
Yeah, and I think where part of my concern is that if this gets introduced, I mean, you and I have actually been, as of late, playing a lot more Master Chief Collection, mm-hmm. Just because we've been working through the campaigns again. But also multiplayer has been kind of an interesting one to get back into. I mean, you yourself was shocked at Halo 4 being in Master Chief Collection, much less the way multiplayer functions in that.
Yeah.
Especially after all the other years of playing everything else, too. But even with that said, it's still one of those things that it's like there's still core functionality of Halo Infinite's multiplayer and Halo Infinite's development that doesn't exist, like, that we know it as. Like, again, we can hop into Master Chief Collection and see all these different things that, you know, that we have become, you know, that we had become accustomed to. The introduction of Firefight in ODST, the introduction of Forge in Halo 3 and its continued expansion, you know, the addition of of abilities in Halo Reach that then got expanded further in Halo 4 and 5. We have seen a lot of the fundamental tools have already been there, and the base of it has already been there. And the idea that Halo Infinite didn't launch with a lot of these things was partially understandable, because now it's okay, it's not just a console game anymore. Now we're going to be supporting it all over the place, and it's going to be free to play on the multiplayer side, but now we're going to be making it as somewhat of a live service game. Well, now you've got other things that are starting to detract further. And the second thought about a battle royale being added kind of brings a little bit of pause and concern about the rest of the game itself. Are we going to be seeing more delays on DLC potentially? Are we going to be seeing delays on additional multiplayer maps? You know, are we going to be seeing the season stretched out longer for some reason? Are we going to be seeing additional stagnation? This is not trying to bash on Halo in any way, shape, or form. It's really observing what is happening and what isn't happening. And this isn't even to try to go counter against what we talked about in the previous episode with how to measure a game's longevity, but it's just, is this really the proper way to go for any multiplayer game that could potentially be struggling to completely do a 180 and change your core mechanic or put more focus into a different mechanic than your tried and true methods that have been successful?
Right. And that was another thing that got me thinking too, was, you know, that if Halo does this and brings out a battle royale mode before they finish the rest of the multiplayer modes, before they bring us a co-op campaign, before they bring us a forge, it could honestly set precedence, because it is such a juggernaut as far as shooters go in the gaming realm, that, you know, it's okay for other big name shooters to just abandon core values to throw in something like a battle royale that doesn't make sense for the genre or doesn't make sense at the time for the genre. You know, it could be fun for it, but doesn't make sense when it's not complete.
That's really where a lot of the concern is. And everything that we've seen up to this point for other battle royale games is that it's not a surefire way to actually bring in players.
No.
I don't think there's been anything shared about the player base for, like, say, Counter-Strike's Danger Zone. Hyperscape, I think, is even being shut down. That's the battle royale from Ubisoft.
That was another thing I was going to say, is that there's been plenty of unsuccessful battle royale games, or battle royale games that you just don't hear about. You know, H1Z1 has its own battle royale mode that, until we were doing research for this topic, I didn't even know about. It might be interesting, but, you know, it's one of those things. It fell off the radar because it didn't necessarily spring anything new, or it didn't bring anything new to light for that to me, you know.
Yeah, and I would like to make a mention here, because I said Hyperscape, you know, as a game that, you know, is a battle royale that really wasn't successful. It's funny to say it, because the day that this episode publishes, Kyle, is the day that it actually shuts down. April 28th, 2022 is when Hyperscape will shut down. So the day that this episode publishes.
Well, farewell, Hyperscape. This
kind of,
one's
kind of funny.
Also, partially for you, I guess.
It's kind of funny. We're talking about battle royales, and one game that we've actually mentioned a couple times here is shutting down the day that this episode is publishing. So, I guess good timing, maybe.
But just
even
proof.
So,
yeah, just proof. It that, is. It is. You know, battle royales aren't necessarily always successful, and while it can be a successful format, it's not tried and true. And it's not necessarily a way to just generate money out of nowhere, or, you know, spring new life into a game that is starting to lose player count. There has to be the initial drive there anyway.
Right. And that's why I was really trying to, like, shy away from talking about player count stuff, because I don't want to kind of turn us hypocritical based on our discussion in the last episode about longevity, because you know, I agree with you, is that players are going to play what they want to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like we talked about in that episode, is that we're willing to take a step back because there's plenty of other games to play. And we'll come back and play Infinite, you know, from time to time. It's not going to be as much as we had. But, you know, as more stuff comes out, we start to see some of those additional things. We're going to put the time into it. But there's plenty of other things for us to check out. But that's why I wanted to avoid kind of talking about the player count stuff, because where we're starting to see this issue, though, more with like Halo Infinite than anything, is that while there's all this press being driven right now and all the speculation, all the leaks that have been getting shared out about a battle royale mode, as a core player of Halo since Combat Evolved, I'm concerned more about just the actual core game itself, the core multiplayer, and the fact that I can't play campaign co-op with you. You know, we've talked about wanting to play that. We can't revisit missions. We can't do Forge. There are some of these other things too. It's just the fact that this hype or potential for Battle Royale to be added might actually cause more harm than good. And outside of what Fortnite did by basically adapting their tower defense game into a battle royale, you know, that was a big 180 for any company to do. But that was seriously within the first year of battle royale games being a thing. And so at that point in time, that you know, that made strategic sense, you know, for them. And they've been successful. They've made billions of dollars off of this one game.
Right.
But it's the concern about the actual effect to the core game itself and what that means for the content, for the rest of the content going forward. Are we going to be those relegated now to just playing Master Chief Collection to keep that going? Or
does it stay true to your content?
Exactly. Exactly. That's the case. And is the potential for things in Halo Infinite's potential battle royale mode going to also fall kind of on the side of gimmicky, like what Fortnite does with their season events, where there are these big battles? And coming up here in a few weeks, Warzone is adding in a Godzilla versus Kong event, literally on the Caldera map. King Kong and Godzilla are going to be either going after you or duking it out on the map or something. Like, the trailer doesn't necessarily say what's going to happen, but they're there.
Totally funny for a game that prided itself initially on the realism of everything. So,
well, I mean, yeah, but no, but yeah,
yeah,
but no, but yeah. it's also the fact too is that it's like it's a tie-in thing for Godzilla versus Kong, which that movie came out early summer of last year, I think. 2 years ago, maybe?
Yeah, I was like, wasn't that out like 2-3 years ago or something?
I think it was 2021. But no, that's the exact thing, is that it's like it's kind of a gimmicky tie-in that's going to bring people in for a bit. But that's the other concern about what could happen with Infinite, you know, is that for Halo's core multiplayer experience, they've got to tread lightly here and make sure that they aren't deviating away. But maybe that's the case. Maybe that's why they brought in the other devs. Maybe that's why they brought in Certain Affinity, is we have this idea to do it. You've had experience with our platform. Help us out with this while we focus on the core side of things.
Maybe. Or, you know, like I said, just as from a fan standpoint, from a standpoint of someone that, you know, has watched other games flounder in their first years, I would rather see the core game complete before they even consider doing a battle royale. Don't expand on what already needs to be done when you know it's not even complete to begin with.
Yeah, it's not necessarily throwing out
like
the baby with
a Peter Molyneux, you know, you can watch the trees grow in real life.
Yeah. Everybody gets to chip away at this cube. And when they get to the end of this cube, then everybody will learn this secret. You know, don't forget to drink your Ovaltine. It's whatever. Right. But no, it's what I was saying there is that it's like it's not necessarily them throwing out the baby with the bathwater. I mean, I'm only in my 30s, but that's definitely a very old phrase. But I think it applies here is that it's not them doing that. But because they're not like ditching the whole thing and saying we're going to just create a battle royale. Mm-hmm. But it's where the focus lies at. And maybe this could end up being successful because they brought in another dev to do it. And they're going to maybe with that split and maybe some additional back end support, things might move faster. I keep my fingers crossed on it.
Maybe.
And I'm hoping, but I just don't know. So, yeah, it's really tough to kind of analyze based on at least the rumor and speculation. But as gamers, we have a legitimate concern about a franchise that we've been playing for 20 years.
Right.
So let's wrap it up here, Kyle, then, like with last thoughts on this and where things, I guess, stand with Battle Royale games right now, too, is that, you know, I'll pose this question to you, is that game like Battle Royale games have been a mixed bag of successes and failures. Again, the day that this episode publishes, Hyperscape is gone. They're shutting it down. But at the same time, PUBG is in its fifth anniversary. We've got Fortnite still doing all the different things they're doing to the point that they actually removed one of their core mechanics and it blew everybody's minds and actually brought people back. With Halo and even other multiplayer games that like multiplayer first person shooters, more specifically, that don't have a battle royale component to it. What do you actually see happening going forward if Infinite decides to, or if 343 decides to put a battle royale into Infinite? You know, what do you see happening for them and potentially the rest of the industry for doing something like this?
I think it's relative to when they do actually add it, because there's still a lot of speculation as to when the battle royale, if there is a battle royale, which of course we've been talking about it for so long, cat's out of the bag. It's probably a battle royale, launches, and I think it might actually change or set a precedence in the industry on how retention is or affects, you know, the multiplayer of games, and or, you know, how a battle royale affects that retention, or, you know, if it possibly could change the dynamic of the retention of players having that extra game mode that, you know, just is slightly different, only gives you the one life to live. But maybe not. I think a lot of it does have to do with the games that it's being added to and how it's approached. Obviously, Hyperscape failed, and it was all about Battle Royale. So it's one of those things that it's just how you approach it, how it's put out to the public, and how you can keep up with the content and keep the players happy without losing sight of what the core objective of the game is.
And I think you basically answered the same way I was going to, because in my mind, as you were talking there, you know, it really does come down to the actual success on this side, where some companies may, you know, they're going to keep an eye on this to see, well, what happens nowadays if a company does some sort of, you know, fundamental shift like that to include it. Could we see sort of the approach that we've seen with Call of Duty, where you have one launcher that gets you into standard multiplayer, Battle Royale, and the campaign, you know, and it's all in one big install, but it allows you to at least pick between the three different launcher or the one launcher, three different modes that you want to do. You know, could we see more of an emphasis on that here? And if the retention increases and improves and maintains that growth or maintains a high level, I do see other games potentially adapting to this, but I couldn't tell you which ones, at least right now, because it feels like we're in a weird position with some games right now, especially anyway, with remasters and remakes. Mm-hmm. The fact that like Grand Theft Auto, for example, is on its fifth or sixth release with GTA 5 coming out to next gen consoles here soon. It's stuff like that. It's just really kind of tough to say for some other games potentially going forward, but eyes are going to be on it to see how a game with this core mechanic that has worked for 20 years is now suffering in that core mechanic. And is this fix going to actually end up being successful for them? I think
will it breathe new life back into the old arena shooter, or are we doomed to play single life battle royale scenarios for the rest of our multiplayer days coming forward?
That's exactly it. I think that's it for sure. And that's a question we won't be able to answer until we actually see this battle royale come out and any other subsequent battle royales, especially with the demise of Hyperscape and with where things sit with Infinite right now, or at least the concern from other players on where Infinite sits right now. But until that drops, of course, we will just have to wait and see. But I think that's it for this week's episode. Don't you think so, Kyle?
I believe so.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, so much for tuning in, of course, to this week's NPCs Discuss, where we talked about the Battle Royale dilemma, how retention in multiplayer games is dependent on a Battle Royale, or not. With that, thank you again so much, everybody, for tuning in. You can catch us, of course, on your favorite podcast platform of choice. If you're listening to us on that podcast platform, great. Hit that subscribe button so whenever any of our new episodes become available, they will automatically download to your device and you can start listening to us then and there. Otherwise, be sure to visit our homepage over at anchor.fm/the-npcs-podcast. All of our past episodes are available there, as well as a list of links to all the different platforms we're on, including Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, you name it, we're probably on there. It also has links to all of our social media, as well as our YouTube page as well. With that, thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. We will catch you all in the next episode.
Laters.